that I was somehow able to know about these things, I was able to predict and cause them. And I grew up having to keep these experiences a secret. I became very quiet within myself, and I grew up thinking there was something wrong with me. And the only connecting point, and this still is my most powerful connecting point, I would always climb on top of our roof and look up at the night sky. There's just something about the night sky that has always connected me with what is the most deep within me. And the way the stars are, the darkness, the beautiful night sky, it was something very primal. And so, I didn't have what that is, what's going on over there. I mean, she is totally resonating with her child, heart to heart. Her energy is open. She's communicating. She's giving that child total permission to be. I mean, I can sense.
The child
see
is
that.
Saying, "I agree."
Oh yeah. No, but it's true. You watch certain. I mean, it's a very beautiful thing to watch her. But I didn't have that as a child, and so I was told not to express, not to talk about my dreams. Dreaming has always been one of my most potent forms of connecting intuitively. And so when the '60s rolled around, and I had a chance to get involved with drugs. I got very heavily involved with drugs for a few years in an attempt to squash all of my abilities because I just was not comfortable with them. And I didn't want to be around you and be able to pick things up about you. I didn't want that. I didn't want to go into places like shopping malls and pick up all the energy there and walk out exhausted. I didn't know what was happening, that in crowded places such as this, that there's a phenomena called intuitive empathy, where if you're an empath and you know how to sense energy, sometimes you get around crowded places where all the energy fields intersect and you absorb it. And so if you ever have a feeling where you get exhausted in crowds, most likely you're an empath. And I didn't know what was happening as a child. This was an intuitive phenomenon. It's very real. It's related to our health in the here and now. We have to be aware that we sense energy, we absorb it, and how to work with that in our lives as a way of really working with intuition. But I didn't know this, and my parents said, oh, you're overly sensitive, or you don't have a thick enough skin, the kind of zingers that parents of that era can just throw at you and just diminish intuition instantly. When somebody says that to you, you're overly sensitive. Everything in you shuts down unless you're very strong and you say, no, you're wrong. But most children would never say that. And so I ran from my intuition for, a couple of years, very heavily involved with drugs. And then, I'm a big believer in protection around us. I believe that everyone is born here with a certain amount of protection. You can call it angels, you can call it ancestors, whatever it is, or some mysterious goodness that surrounds us from the moment we're born. And because we can't see it with our rational mind, and our intuition isn't developed enough to sense it, we often don't feel the reality of this around us. But I've seen evidence of this guidance work in my life over and over again. And when I was going down this very destructive path, as a teenager, my guidance came in and it helped me. And I had a series of events. I had a near-death experience when I was 16 in the middle of all of this drug taking where I met some guy at a party one night who I was attracted to, and I jumped in a little car, an Austin Mini Cooper, and went up to the top of Tuna Canyon, which is up in Malibu Canyon, and we were talking and weren't paying much attention to the road, and all of a sudden I remember smelling burnt rubber and the car started tumbling over the cliff. It was this huge, huge abyss, very huge. And as the car was tumbling, I had this dual awareness where I was going over the cliff, but I was also catapulted into this amazing tunnel that so many of people have spoken about since then. And it was kind of the color of this room, kind of a little bit more gray. It was blue-gray for me. And all of the atoms were whirling at enormous speeds, and my substance of my body changed to resonate with the substance of the tunnel, and I believe that's what kept me sane. And my body was in this changed state until it landed. And then I came back into my body and I was just hardly harmed at all. I was remarkably unscathed. And it was after this experience, and people always say, well, what happened to the guy, Yeah, it's funny, sometimes people come into your life just for this brief moment to experience a certain thing, then they're gone. I can't even remember his last name. And he was safe too, but because I wasn't talking about my experience, I didn't sit him down and say, God, I went to this tunnel. I just kept it inside. But it was after that night. Sometimes we have these peak experiences in our lives, these peak psychic experiences, and our guidance comes in very strongly, our protection, and then life begins to shift. It's this invisible shift that happens. And the shift that happened for me was that after this, my parents were so distraught that they forced me to go see a psychiatrist. No, but you, I don't know if you find this, Deepak, but you look back on your life and you see this incredible plan.
I know.
You do, but when you're living through it, it seems almost incomprehensible.
The conspiracy of improbabilities.
Exactly. Who would have ever thought I would have become a psychiatrist? I mean, it was nothing I wanted to do. In my mind, my rational, linear mind never wanted to do it. I never had that desire in my mind. But I got sent to this man, and I could have been sent to somebody who could have put me on antipsychotics or overanalyzed my experiences so that they no longer had any life left in them, as can sometimes happen with analysis. But I was sent to an angel who was able to see that a lot of what I was going through was because I really had to integrate my psychic and spiritual self. And he was the first one who was able to see me and to see this. And he was able to look at me and sit across from me and not project and not see who he wanted to see, but to see my essence. You know, it's what Coleman talks about, essence, you know, getting to that, you know, being able to see with intuition in another person. I mean, it's a very beautiful thing. It's a healing thing to be able to be seen like that. It was the first time I ever had that experience. And I hope you all have that experience. It's essential to have it. You know, and particularly if you want to go into therapy or you choose a physician, you have to have this capacity of being seen and not being projected onto us. It's intuitively, the feeling of being projected on, it feels terrible, you know, just subjectively. I can feel it. It's somebody else's projection onto me, and as opposed to just being seen very clearly. So in any case, I was seen by this man, and he in turn sent me to see Dr. Thelma Moss at UCLA at the Neuropsychiatric Institute, and she tested my abilities with a technique known as psychometry, where you hold on to an object. I held on to her keys, and I did a reading, a conscious psychic reading for the first time, and I was quite accurate. It's an incredible experience. I mean, you talk about not having to go from point A to point B to get somewhere. I had that experience where I was tuning into her house, and I had the experience where I could just lift up off the ground and go up to the second floor. You don't have to walk, or you don't have to think in the ordinary way in psychic space. It just doesn't work that way. Or in dream time, it doesn't work. You look in dreams, you notice the next time you dream that the mouths are moving. You know, the mouths don't move much in dreams. It's telepathic communication. You know, people forget about it. It's something that they don't even think to acknowledge because it's so natural in a dream state. But when you go there tonight, when you go in dream, you just take a look. You see, this whole thing we do about talking, I mean, I love it, being human and talking. I love being human, but I also know the limitations of that and the beauty of silence. And anyone who wants to develop intuition, the first thing is to develop silence and learn how to be quiet within the self. Because if you're not quiet within the self, all you're going to hear is that mind blasting all the time, and that will torment you. It's really tormenting. If that's all you hear throughout a lifetime, is that mind. It's not the softness or the heart or the sense of being cocooned or cradled, that intuition and how that helps one connect with the divine, what that can give you. Now, I always teach intuition in terms of connecting with the still small voice inside as it connects to what you perceive as sacred, whatever you perceive as God. I don't care what you perceive as God. It makes no difference to me. But what does make a difference to me is that it's real for you, and that in the middle of the night you can connect with it, because only you will know that then. You know, it's an extremely personal thing, who your God is, and what voice speaks to you, and who you choose to trust, and how you know it's not projection, how you know it's not fear, how you know what is an authentic intuition, and how to listen to it, and when. I mean, your life can depend on it. It really can. And you need to know it with every beat of your existence. I couldn't imagine leading a life without intuition. I couldn't imagine being a doctor without intuitively tuning in to energy, to images, impressions, knowings, whatever comes to me. I mean, that's the joy of medicine. It's not just putting people in a little category and asking certain questions. It's about feeling them and being with them and also unconditionally loving them. And unconditional love is a conduit for the psychic. The more we can put that out, the more we can develop it in ourselves, the more we can develop intuitively. As intuition comes as a growth of the heart, direct growth of the heart. And as the heart grows, you begin to see things and know things in a very different way. All right, and so I had a lot of support as when I went through with Thelma Moss. And I was beginning to really get in touch with my intuition and beginning, just in the early stages of trusting it. It's taken me years to trust it implicitly, as I do now. It's taken me a really long time. It didn't just happen where I trust it and my whole life was based around it. But I did have a dream when I was working with her.